This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Garden of Sound, brought to you with thanks to Mint Finance. It's business loans made easy. New Zealand Music Month continues without signs of abating. That's a good thing too, as today's guest is The Snake Behaviour. The beginnings of the band were in Nelson, but after some time spent on the Christchurch youth circuit, the Snake Behaviour we know and love today emerged onto the scene. Comprised of Chris Bull on vocals, Samuel Keane on drums, Sam Gruber on bass and Michael Gibbs on guitar, they've just released their debut album, Serpent Psychology, and they'll be launching it tonight at the Dark Room in Christchurch. I caught up with Chris and Samuel to find out what makes the Snake Behaviour tick, and how long they can keep putting on their high-energy shows. Chris, I want to start off with you. I want to talk about musical memories and growing up. When's the first time music entered your consciousness or your ear canals, as it were?
I think in my Nelson home lounge as about an eight-year-old, as I started fossicking through mum and dad's records, vinyls. And dad was a nerd, mum was a hippie, so there was a eclectic collection of Cat Stevens and Kamal, and then there was Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. And
which of those did you lean to?
Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
Not Kamal.
But I will say I do have a soft spot for Cat Stevens. And there is, I think, you're hearing the music, and anything I've written previous to this lineup is very poppy, and I think that's where it comes from. There's a pop aspect to it in a hook, if that makes sense.
So were there any sort of events that you got taken off to? You say your mum was a hippie. Was there any sort of like music stuff going on in the Nelson region around there?
I think she was a former hippie, but then I think her days were over from that point of view. But we also had a batch over in Golden Bay, and there'd be forever the gathering was up there, so we'd always go past it, and mum would be like, back in my day, and, you know, okay, cool, you know. And I remember me and my brother and sister got to choose one cassette that was in the car on the way over or back to listen to, and mine was either Cat Stevens, or by then the Wallflowers was out, so it was Wallflowers or Yourself or Someone Like You as well by Matchbox 20. And my sister was always bloody Alanis Morissette.
I have to say, there's nothing wrong with Alanis.
No, Jagged Little Pill is an amazing album. That's what it was, thankfully. But it was bloody Alanis Morissette when it's 1,000 times over and it's on repeat and she falls asleep and dad doesn't know how to change the damn thing.
And all you need is a knife at that point, really.
All you need is a knife, you know. Mm.
Samuel, where did you grow up?
So born and raised here in Christchurch. Homeboy in that sense.
And what about the music at home growing up?
Well, basically I was raised on, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Queen, Black Sabbath, and Aussie solo music as well. All of that kind of classic hard rock, metal. And then mum was really into ABBA and stuff like that as well. So there's always been a mixture anyway.
So you leaned more towards where your father
was?
Oh,
I definitely leaned way more towards that.
So was there encouragement to play musical instruments in the house?
There was, my grandparents had kind of delved into that in their youth. I was actually the one that kind of initiated interest in the sense that I can't even remember how it happened, but when I was about 10, guitar kind of jumped out at me, and I played for about a month and gave up because I was just a 10-year-old who wanted to play around outside and everything too. But then music completely took over my life when I was 14, and I haven't looked back since.
Now, you're the drummer of the band.
Yes.
So was it guitar up until a certain point, or when did the drums take over?
Basically, I had a band myself in high school that we broke up in 2014. So Chris here poached me. Drums was something I learnt in 2008, self-taught, just kind of as something to do at school in my final year because I had some time to kill and thought it would be cool. And then, I never thought I'd ever play drums in a band. And yet here I am, almost 7 years later.
And obviously you've got those very famous guitarist drummers such as Dave Grohl.
Exactly.
Which is
My wonderful bandmates called me the reverse Dave Grohl, which is a name I'll take. It's good company.
So, Chris, what did you see in Samuel as far as a band member?
Well, initially, we needed a drummer. We'd booked a show, and I think we'd booked it, and at that time, our fill-in drummer had gone overseas pre-booking the show and it actually being played, if that makes sense. So, and we were like, oh, crap, we need someone. And he was in a band with another friend of mine, or ours, mutual friend. And we just called him up and we're like, hey, do you know any of our songs? He's like, no. We're like, do you know how to play drums? Not really. We're like, perfect, you're in. So
that's quite a risk to take when you've got a show.
It was hilarious.
But back then, I think that's what we were more about. And that was our shtick, is that Nirvana-y kind of...
The who cares.
I always used to say, and excuse the French, edit that if you want to, but I always used to say if someone's walked off stage and goes, I don't know what the fuck that was, but it was amazing, that was our kind of attitude back then of like, you know, that was noisy and stuff. And so he played, it was a train wreck. But
It was a beautiful train wreck.
But to answer what you're saying him now, we have a lot of discussion about this now. And there are a lot of technical drummers around, and we play every night or every gig with drummers that are incredible. But they don't have what he has for me, which is that kind of, that, to be honest, the Dave Grohl, the long hair swinging, the power hitting, you know, the technique's not necessarily 100%.
The Tiger Woods of the drum scene.
That's, damn it, he hits those hard.
Yeah.
He hits them real hard.
I want to take a real step back and talk about the fact that you're the singer in the band. Mm. Where did singing, where did the vocalization come from for you?
Necessity? No, it probably a bit like Samuel. I was in a high school band for a little bit, and we were a Creed, Red Hot Chili Peppers cover hybrid, and all I could do was not really sing, but I knew the words, and I used to sing along to those songs that I mentioned in the car, on the, you know, always sing along to songs and that, but my voice was never so much a choir voice. And then when I founded the band, we both sort of were singing, but I couldn't play an instrument, and the other dude could, so it was a natural thing. And I used to play a bit of guitar, didn't I? And sing as well.
Back in the day.
A bit of a very punky guitar. And then we sort of went from that to a shift in the songwriting as a band, how we work. And that allowed me the opportunity to just focus on the vocals, I think, and concentrate on the craft of being a front man as well, I think, more than because it's singing, but there's singing and there's being the front person of the band.
So let's look at the history of the Snake Behaviour. Yep. I understand been around for about 13 years now.
More than that, 16, I think. Yeah.
So tell me about the original incarnation of it.
So like I said, I alluded to earlier, I'm actually from Nelson originally. Then I moved down to here in 08. But me and a fella called AJ were mates from high school and sort of a few youth projects and stuff after that, you know, in Nelson there. And Nelson's that kind of place that if you're not a something, a builder or whatever, you kind of can fall through the cracks, right? So you don't have a job, you're working in a supermarket or something, and there's nothing else to do. And all my friends that did all the outdoor stuff that I liked had gone out of town, nothing else to do. So I kind of naturally went that way and had a guitar. We liked to write songs. That was the cool thing to do at that time, was to pretend you're in a band even though you weren't. But me and him were like, nah, we had a chip on our shoulder, and we were kind of like or a point to prove or something, I don't know what it was, young angst or something, and we were like, we got something to say and we're gonna say it, and I don't care how crap it is, we're gonna do it. And so I bought a cheap $100 guitar from some music shop.
An electric, I presume?
No, an acoustic.
Acoustic.
So our very first songs were actually translate to an acoustic guitar.
Amazing.
They did that, and that's where the Nirvana influence came through too, and the real simple acoustic songs that could go to an electric guitar. And then he played bass initially, he was a bassist, and then he moved to drums, and we sort of shifted between bassist and for a while we had no bassist, and another friend of mine came in and played guitar. And then about 05 we took it seriously enough to actually start a gig, and we used to play our friends' flats and stuff.
This is still in Nelson.
Yeah, still in Nelson, yeah. With another friend who by then had joined to play guitar. And then in 08, I moved. I did a bit of a bad time with an ex-fiance and whatnot and moved down here. And I went, actually, as a wee note, with her words ringing in my ear that the band will never be anything and you should just stop and it's a failure. And so I moved down. It was actually late 07, but yeah, we'll call it 08. And we got on the YCP circuit. I don't know if you've heard of what that is.
No, I haven't.
It was like a youth circuit for up-and-coming bands. We were kind of the older imposters. By this time, I was 25. It's designed for
still 18. Young in somebody's eyes, I'm sure.
You know, still, I think it's designed for... what, like 17, 18-year-olds.
Which is what I was doing at the time.
But it works. So, and we got onto that. And then me and AJ's relationship busted up pretty badly. And it just became nothing for a long time. Until really our mutual friend, Jason, who is one of our brothers. We're both very, very close with him. I'd met him from those early YCP shows. And I started hanging out, and I kind of got the love back again of it. And then I met our guitarist, Michael, at New World, actually, working with just, you know, as part of our job. And I went up and said, hey, you play guitar, to this shy dude who didn't say boo to a goose. He's like, yeah, I play guitar. I was like, well, do you want to play with me? Yeah, okay. So he came around, and a couple of jams later, and 10 years, that was 2009, 10 years later, he's still here, you know.
So you guys are gigging, but it's obviously not, you know, paying all the bills.
No.
Was there any other sort of courses, direction, Samuel? Did you want to go off and do anything else other than, you know, play music?
Basically, like, when I was heading out, towards the end of school, I thought about studying music, and I thought very seriously about it. But at the time of about to leave school, going into studying, I just joined a second band, which was with our mutual friend Jason. Him and I just started something, so I had two bands going, and of course a job, and all the usual stuff that goes on in life. I thought, what do I have to give up? Nah, not giving up the rock and roll dream. I'll just learn on the road kind of thing, like learn by playing. So basically, as soon as music took over my life when I was like 14, I have not looked at anything else in this life. Music and art is just my obsession.
Chris, we were talking earlier about you're paying the bills,
yep.
Working in an office job. How do you sort of balance the rock and roll kind of persona and, you know? And
I love it now because I think I alluded to before that AJ and I back in the day were full of angst. And the whole point, the name even of the band, is all about sticking it to the man and making it as difficult as possible and not being called snake behaviour, insisting that it's the snake behaviour just because we want it to be difficult and all of that. And now here I am, the antithesis of everything that I used to stand for, working in a corporate role and all that. But that comes with life.
It's age. It's maturity. Age,
it's life. I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got a wife. I've got someone else that needs me and needs me to pay bills, you know.
But most importantly, today you release your debut album.
Yes, we do. Yep.
Which is exciting. So, I just want to take a step back first from that, though. What are some of the sort of bands who have influenced the sound of the Snake Behaviour?
Nirvana by Miles.
Alice in Chains would probably be a fairly big one for us these days.
And I'd merely say something Miles Kennedy, Seether-ish, or that sort of sound, really, eh?
I would probably, yeah. Like, Alter Bridge has influenced myself and Michael quite a lot musically.
Yeah.
That very heavy guitar with the big melodies and everything. And, I mean, it works brilliantly with what Chris does. He brings that punk element to it. So it's always just a nice melting pot.
Is there any track from any of those groups which you've mentioned that we should play now?
Nirvana.
Yeah.
You Know You're Right.
You Know You're Right. Yep.
What's the story behind that?
So the story behind it is at that stage, Cobain was at the very end of his tether. It was recorded in January 1994. And the two other guys, Novoselic and Grohl, had been at the studio for 2 days. Previous, and they just filled it with other stuff that actually ended up on the Foo Fighters, one of the Foo Fighters records. So there you go.
But, the universe working in mysterious ways.
Yeah, so they had 3 days, and Cobain walked in without explanation on the third day and gave what sounds like his most desperate vocals. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear the pain, the anger, the frustration, the something, and never walked into a studio again. And I he influenced me a lot, and I, as depressing as that is, it's also kind of cool in a sense, in that it was going to be, I like the idea that that was going to be a whole full album, and I like the idea that we will never know what that would have sounded like, and we can only speculate that by the sound of his performance on that one track, that it was going to be something out of this world, that even would have eclipsed Nevermind by Daylight.
Just want to mention the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, which is coming to the Isaac Theatre Royal in June. Tickets are now selling for the Showbiz Christchurch production, featuring the vocal talents of many fine artists from Christchurch. Get your tickets now for what's going to be a great show. Just head along to showbiz.org and follow those links.
This is the Garden of Sound interview with the Snake Behaviour on Plains FM 96.9. Guys, we were talking about some awesome bands before, Nirvana, talking about Alice in Chains, a particular favourite of mine, and I'm not sitting in too much of an angry chair at the moment, but I want to talk about gigs. Samuel, what was the first big gig that you got along to that maybe you paid some money to
see? If we're talking, I guess, first like big concert, right? Disturbed 2006 at the Town Hall in Christchurch. Blew my mind. I've been to concerts constantly every year since.
Why this concert?
Well, I mean, being a, I was a 16-year-old angry metalhead kid, it was perfect at the time. It was, I don't know, it was just raw. It was very angry. It was, I don't know, dark in some places, but it was just high energy as well. And it was, I mean, the mosh pit tends to be a big place for me these days, even now after all this time. But live music for me is...
the Holy Grail.
It's the Holy Grail.
Chris, what about you? What was the first big gig that you got along to that you can remember?
I think probably 2002, I want to say, Big Day Out. And if not that, then Red Hot Chili Peppers down at QE2 Stadium about the same time. And I remember my sister, I'd actually bought the tickets for my sister because she was obsessed with them, and I bought them as a present. Thought, you know, I'll go with you. She's only, I'm under 19, she's under 17, something like that. So we went along to that. It was either that or that Big Day Out. And that Big Day Out had Rammstein, and it had The Strokes, and it had all sorts of bands. It had Limp Bizkit actually there, and a bunch of other acts that were, you know, that blew my mind. Because that was my first, like, holy crap, this is real. This isn't like concert in the park at Saxon's Field in Nelson. This is big time, you know. So, yeah.
So tell me about the Christchurch music scene at the moment. Obviously, I do a music show, so I get a very different vibe. But is it vibrant? Is it collaborative? What's sort of happening? Are folks sort of coming along? Are they helping one another out?
It's a brotherhood, really.
It's electric,
and a sisterhood.
And a sisterhood, yeah.
But it's there's a lot of different, beautiful, vibrant acts. And there's so many different styles, and everybody's always out to support each other. So many, I mean, I normally go to so many local gigs, and there's always people from other bands there. And it's
obviously this evening you're playing a gig.
We certainly are. Yep. We are playing our album release show, which is Serpent Psychology is our album, and we're playing with the wonderful guys in Fall of Them, our brothers, and Temperamental and Sins of Eve.
I want to talk about sort of being on stage and stuff that's, you talked about a train wreck earlier on as your first appearance on drums. It can't have been that bad.
Well, it was more a case of like, I've played drums, prior to that I'd played drums live once, and that was with my old band. We played a cover and swapped.
I go back to, that's a tremendous risk for you to take. Was it utter necessity?
That
obviously.
Was our stick, yeah. No. Our thing was F the Man. Yeah. And punk rock, the punk rock movement was literally born out of an attitude of playing what you want, how you want, when you want, and F anyone else that judged or cared about it.
And how sustainable is that in terms...
Yeah. I mean, I still remember that night. It was absolutely hilarious. He just called me up out of the blue and said, hey... like, do you want to play this? We've got this gig tonight. Do you want to come and play? And I was like, I don't know your songs. Like, and like, I know a bit of drums, but I've never played live kind of like properly as a drummer. And it's just like, oh, it'll be fine. It's like, okay. I'd seen them live once. My other band had played with them on New Year's Eve previous. And that was the only time I'd seen them. And I got up, I brought my stuff, set everything up, sat down, couldn't hear a thing the entire time we were playing. All I could hear was just a mesh of noise, and I just smacked the drums for 30 minutes, and then this guy comes up to me at the end, and he's just like, hey, do you want to join the band?
I think that's what it was about, though. It was about having fun, and I had a message that I just wanted to portray, probably more in the lyric than anything else, so I didn't really care. As long as I was having fun and my lyrical message was getting out, I didn't care, whereas now one of the best things about having Samuel in the band is we've become... that's the best thing you've done is shape us into a serious band.
Okay, so we're looking back to maybe pre-2005 at least. What advice are you going to give to a young Chris sort of getting into the music scene? Is there anything that you'd change or do differently?
I think for a start, put the time in more, learn it. You can't just pretend you're in a band, if that makes sense. You actually got to work at it. And not only work at it, you've got to have a persona, but there's no point having that chip on your shoulder persona. You've actually got to be in this local scene anyway. You've got to be a good dude or a good chick. Like, you just do. And if you walk around with that chip on your shoulder, people aren't going to take a punt on you. And you're not taking it seriously. Your whole idea is sabotaging yourself to, you know, so it would just be to take it seriously and work harder, I think. and be more open to suggestions from the other band members, definitely.
You've just segued nicely into the composition of the group. So obviously, Chris, you're on vocals. Is there any other instrumentation on stage at this stage?
Used to play a bit of guitar. Occasionally, I still do.
Occasionally.
Very occasionally on stage. And that's it from me, basically. Now I just yell a lot.
Samuel, drums?
Drums and backing vocals.
Backing vocals, fantastic. Yeah. On the album, has there been anything else from you added?
Basically, like in terms of instrumentation, that was it, drums and vocals. But I engineered and produced
fantastic.
The album. Yep. So
that's great.
Yeah.
We've got Michael on guitar.
He's our guitarist. He's my Quiet Bulk Foods assistant from New World. He's been with me 10 years and the most loyal dude you could ever ask for. And in my mind, one of the best guitarists going around Christchurch.
The boy comes out with some epic riffs.
Amazing. Yeah. And in addition to Samuel, we have Sam, who was on bass.
Best choice we've ever made as a band.
How long has she been with you in the band?
2014.
We were talking about this last night at rehearsal.
2014.
Yep. 2014.
So, I think it's time for some more music. It's a somewhat difficult question that I ask folks. Let's pull from all of music and all of history and ask you to pick a favourite.
No pressure.
Is there a favourite track you'd like to play right now?
I'm going to jump the gun and say Queen, I Want It All. Because Queen, man.
Nice.
I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. Adventure seeker on an empty street. Just an alley creeper, light on his feet. A young fighter.
Thanks for being with us today. I just want to thank Mint Finance for sponsoring the show. I just want to let you know they offer finance to businesses of all sizes through secured and unsecured loans, starting out at just $5,000. That's on terms of up to 5 years. Obviously, T's and C's apply on all business lending. Now, the best part is Mint Finance are super easy to deal with, and they understand what you as a business owner need from a finance partner. If you've got a great idea and you need the finance to see it through to fruition, then get in touch with Mint Finance today. You can do that on 0800 666 023. That's 0800 666 023, or you can visit their website. That's mintfinance.co.nz.
This is the Garden of Sound interview with The Snake Behaviour on Plains FM 96.9. You guys, you've got your debut album dropping right now, right today. I want to talk about the production process of that. So how and where was it recorded?
Everything was done in my home studio, Madhouse Studios. Mm-hmm. What we tend to do is, with the recording side of things, we'll have a bunch of demos, I'll program some drums, make it easier, get the tempo and everything ready to go, and then we just layer over top. So I'll start with the drums, and then we get some bass, guitar, et cetera, vocals. We spent a lot of time on this one. It was kind of over two periods of time. The biggest block was last year. We spent a good, 3-4 months tanking out the rest of the album, because we recorded maybe 4 or 5 of the songs in 2017. But the majority of it, was done last year, and it's just been a matter of tweaking, and we did lots of layering this time around, so a bit more refined than our first release.
Remind me the name of the album?
Serpent Psychology.
Yeah. Obviously, that ties in with the snake behaviour. Tell me the story behind, you know, how the songs were written, or at least the lyrics, or the meaning behind the album.
So I think, first of all, one thing that we part of the name, reason we settled on that name, was because it marks a marker in the sand from where, personally anyway, lyrically, I started writing, well, changed from writing inwardly to outwardly. So stopped writing.
Give me an
about,
example.
So stopped writing about mental illness and the things that I'd been through. So my parents died as a young as it when I was a kid, things like that. And stuck in Nelson, I said I had a hard time with the fiance, that sort of stuff. Writing about that. Into writing about things like Ragnarok, where it's about climate change, it's a warning to the world, and that social aspect to it, that social conscience aspect. It marks a marker in the sand as well between a kind of the evolution of that and kind of where we were at one point and where we are, and it's a nice marker in the sand to be like, that was then, everything we make from now on is now.
To my mind, what you're talking about, the outward facing stuff, seems a bit more punk than the inward looking.
It is.
We haven't talked at all about sort of punk influences. Sort of any bands or any particular writers, any movements that sort of have influenced you during this album?
Well, interestingly, Public Image Limited, more than the Sex Pistols, is more my jam. But a lot of it was from that. They're probably not punk, but it's the Nirvana aspect to it that they fit into a punk sound as well, and so did it was ones like them and 90s skate punk bands, Pennywise and Lagwagon and bands like that, that I tried to take on that sort of burden of the hooky lyric, I guess, and the story behind it, but the actual social conscience part of it comes more, I think, just from my personality.
Tell me about Christchurch in terms of what you're putting out, or this punk feeling. To me, Christchurch is a very conservative city. So are you respected in the music community? Is there a place for you, or are you tolerated? What's the general feel?
It's interesting. You have to ask the other bands. No, I think we've shot ourselves in the foot. And in the same way, though, we've carved ourselves out quite a nice little niche. And the reason I say that is that we cross so many genres. So there's a metal aspect to us as well. And there's a rock aspect. And there's actually quite a hooky pop punk aspect to us in some of our songs.
Oh, yeah.
And a corporate rock aspect. So we fit on a lot of bills, which is good but bad. But I think the best example I can think of is when we were in Timaru. And we played Timaru. There, and it was on a metal show, you know, all metal acts. And like a guy came up and he said, "Oh, what are you?" And we said, "We're a punk band." He goes, "Oh no, don't want punk bands." The end of it, he came up and he said, "That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen." And so I'm not afraid to say the message, well, you're right, Christchurch is quite conservative, but I think musicians tend to not be anyway. Often, especially rock and metal musicians and punk musicians, they tend to be of a liberal point of view. Not always, but tend to be. So you can kind of say something. Everyone's saying something in their song anyway. So you're just saying it vocally and then you're talking about it in the song as well.
I think it's time for some more music. I really want to hear Ragnarok, but I just want to sort of ask you, Samuel, because you've worked on the production and the engineering of the track, and when you've talked about a lot of the bands that have influenced you, which have a lot of sort of technical brilliance and so on, is there a desire to take the band in more of in less of a punk direction?
I think, like, the thing that I really thrive on myself, even, like, I say it to these guys all the time, I harp on about it constantly, is that the majority of my favourite bands, the bands I consider to be the ones that I truly hold dear, they're all so musically diverse, and they all are not afraid to do whatever the heck they want. So I love the fact that we have a punk and a metal aspect. I love the fact that we can just go, hey, we've got a song, this is a little different, sweet, and we just play it, and we're not afraid, and I like that. So I think being a melting pot is the best way to go.
This is Ragnarok, which you'll be able to hear live this evening at the Dark Room. This is Snake Behaviour. This is the Garden of Sound interview with the Snake Behaviour on Plains FM 96.9. I want to look out to the future. Obviously, your album Serpent Psychology drops today, which is very exciting. But what about your 1-3-5 year plan? What's on the horizon for the snake behavior?
We've been working quite tirelessly lately on obviously the album and getting ready for that release, but we've actually been working on some new material finally. So we're actually looking at hopefully heading into the studio later this year to do something, because we're workhorses and we can't sit still. I know I can't.
What about the touring aspect? Obviously, you want to get this album out and you want to get as many people to hear it as possible. And I haven't seen you. I will see you this evening at the gig, but it sounds like you put on a pretty impressive live show. Folks should be seeing that. So what's the touring looking like?
I think we're looking at heading to Auckland. We've got a few friends up there. The Mighty Fire for Glory, nice punk band from Auckland, and a couple of other sick bands that I want to check out and put on a list. So we'll probably play up there at some stage. And if we can swing it, somewhere down south, there's normally Timaru and Dunedin, normally good venues to go as well.
They're always welcoming too.
But I think a lot of it is quite logistically tough about getting, because you want a bunch of bands on the bill and you want a couple of local bands, but you also want your mates, and can your mates make it, and do they have the money and blah 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 to be able to, you know, because it's quite a lot of work in organizing it. So something we will be definitely doing, yet to be confirmed, but we will definitely be playing, I would say definitely Auckland, definitely somewhere in the South Island and somewhere in between.
If a major label was to come up and say, wicked, let's pick it up, we want to take you to, you know, take you for a start to Australia or something like that and take you around the traps, yeah, would that be a thing for you?
That would be a thing, all right. Don't worry about that. That would be a real thing.
Yep. So what about further into the future? Can you guys see yourselves doing this in your 50s, 60s?
I am hopeful that I will be old and grey and frail, still rocking out.
I think this form of this will never – I've held on to this too long. It's too much of me. Whether or not it's in this form or whether we go the whole way in that period, whatever, you know, the whole time – don't know, who knows what life's got to bring, but I can imagine us. I was actually told these guys about a dream I had, and we were 50 or 60, and we were playing with some good old friends, famous bands, and we're still rocking out, you know, and it's the kind of thing, you see each other and you're doing it in 10 years, awesome, take a break and meet again in 20 years and it'll be the same as what it is. When we walk in the door now, we haven't played a song for ages and it's just that nostalgic, like, yeah, let's do it, and it's fun.
Will we see an acoustic Chris Bull anytime?
I'm working on persuading him. I'm working on it.
There actually is already. In that lull between AJ leaving that I talked about and kind of having nothing, I actually did an acoustic record, which is should have been renamed Trainwreck because that is also a train wreck. But, you know, you live and learn. That was when I was young and dumb. But it is, I think I again mentioned earlier that a lot of my songs, when I was writing the songs, translated on acoustic guitar. And that naturally is probably where, as you get older, I would go eventually. You know, this would always stay a thing, but it's easy to go down the pub on a Sunday and play some acoustic songs. It's a lot harder to scream when you're 60, scream your lungs out, you know. So it's definitely there'll be something along that line eventually.
Guys, I'm super excited about seeing you tonight, and especially for your debut album, Serpent Psychology, dropping today. It's been awesome to have you on the show. I want a track to take us out with. You're talking about all of the brotherhood and the sisterhood and all your good mates around the country and so on. Is there a track by somebody else you'd like to shout out to?
I would say our wonderful brothers in Unite the Silence with their amazing song Flying.
I think with them we've been friends with them for a long time, and mental health is something that's very close to us and very close to them, and this song is kind of euphoric in a way to me, so I love the idea of finishing on that. It's transcendent, and they're one of the best rock bands going around the city by miles. So
amazing.
Yep. Flying.
Yep.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cool. Thanks for having us.
That was Flying from Unite the Silence. It's time for my track of the week, and it's not current, but it sure is fresh. I saw this group last Saturday at the Christchurch Rockquest Heats, and they are actually a he in the form of Aidan Fine. And this brilliantly produced track for someone so young, well, for someone of any age, is called Rabbit Hole.
For you, I guess I lost myself deep inside my points of view, period. I told you how I felt and now I'm feeling it. I feel like you don't feel like you've been on my mind before a long damn time. I'm trying to get you out of it. I'm different from these other guys who trying to get you out of it. You're out of it, I'm proud of it. I know thyself, myself included, myself's polluted with Judas's juices. I betrayed my self-trust by ignoring intuition. Self-admission that my system is imprisoned, self-imprisoned by my lack of vision. And you don't see it, do you? At least you're loyal to your man, but you don't need him, do you? And every time I talk to you, I'm falling deeper through you. I'm in the rabbit hole now. Let's rewind time to before I even knew you.
Rabbit hole, I still need you. Time I open up against the four right through in the rabbit hole. I'm in the rabbit hole, I smell you. Every time I open up against the four right through in the rabbit hole.
It's like, yeah. I can love these women, man, they've really got me tripping. I can love these women, man, they've really got me. Look, I cocoon never made it. How come you spun the web? Google search my name, trying to understand my fame or my lack of it. My first cousin asking why I'm rapping by the dozens and never dropping any bait, cause you're overrated and I agree. Lucretius told me that I'm top 10 in Africa, I disagree. My cup runneth in my own lane, mixing up my metaphors. I'm Superman with no lanes. Yeah, Bruce Wayne's kryptonite, but they have gang fights. Your blood and she a kryptonite. Girl, you should end it. Are you happy? That's an honest question. I hate relationships with lopsided obsession. Perfectionism is my only one true blessing, cause I ain't got it, so my life circles around perfection. Falling down the rabbit hole, learning my last lesson.
Rabbit hole, I smell you. Every time I open up against the four right through in the rabbit hole. I'm in the rabbit hole, I smell you. Every time I open up against the four right through in the rabbit hole.
That we're drifting and it's hurting you. It's hurting me too. But why do we need to hurt? I don't want to hurt.
Thanks for being with me today. My guest was The Snake Behavior. You can find out how to buy their debut album, Serpent Psychology, and get more info on tonight's launch party by visiting gardenofsound.nz. Just click on the band's picture on the homepage. Next week, we keep it a bit moody and soulful with the uber-talented Moonflower. This has been Garden of Sound, brought to you by Mint Finance. Business Loans Made Easy. Until next week, keep well, keep listening, and keep playing. Haere rā.